Good morning, everyone. We appreciate the good prayer, the singing, the reading of the scriptures, the welcoming by one of our elders, Jeff McKinney. And we're glad you're here. We have people that are visiting, and we want you to know how glad we are. I do want to fill in one announcement, and that is about Helen Trousdale. Now, Helen was the mother of Edith Kent, and we've known them for 45 years, I guess. But anyway, her funeral service will be on Tuesday at Center Star at the Elkins Funeral Home, and the visitation will be at 12 to 1:45, and then the funeral will be at 2 p.m. That's this next Tuesday. We got a lot of people, as Jeff said, that are sick and people that have died, and we just want you all to know that we are indeed engaged in prayer, constantly thinking about all of you who are in need. For a little while this morning, I want to talk to you about the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm concerned, I think many people are, concerned about the glorious gospel of Christ being preached to all mankind, and we want to know how to build up the church that belongs to Christ. And Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 2 rather, verses 1 through 10, he makes various exhortations to Timothy about preaching and teaching the gospel. But the one thing that I want to zero in on that context is what he states about himself. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Now, in the NIV version, he says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. He was in prison. Why was he there? Because of his preaching. And he thanked God that he could suffer. But he wanted Timothy to know, just because he's in prison doesn't mean that the word of God is also chained. No, God's word is freely being preached. And when you go to the Bible in the days immediately after the coming of the Holy Spirit upon believers in Jerusalem at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when they began to preach the gospel, here's what we read. Many of those who heard the word believed. Friends, when people hear the word today, there'll be many that believe. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. What a response. And then we go a little bit further. And we read in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, about some of those people that responded. The word of God spread. As a result, the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the Jewish priests, men who had seen or been the enemies of Christ during his earthly ministry. Now then, Luke says, a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Acts 6, verse 7. But then you just keep on moving through the book of Acts. A short time later, the church at Jerusalem was being scattered because of persecution. What are they going to do? They're fleeing to other parts of the Roman world because of that persecution. And what do they do as they go? What do they do? Even in the face of persecution, God tells us. In Acts 8, verse 4, those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Paul, the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not in prison. The word of God is being sounded forth. Then a little bit later in Acts 12, in verse 24, the Bible says the word of God grew and multiplied. The church grew and multiplied because of the word of God. And the seed, the word of the Lord, was being sown, and there was fruit from it, scattering the precious seed, growth in the kingdom of God. And you know one thing I couldn't help but include? And that was when Paul came down to Ephesus, he went into the synagogue and he spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And the Bible said that Paul was ready to answer every one of them, just like Peter tells us to be ready always to give an answer of our hope, 1 Peter 3:15. And then we read, And then a few verses later, there was a moving of God among those in Ephesus who had made their living by practicing spiritualism, the black arts. What do these people do? Here it is. Real interesting. In verse 18, and many who had believed came, confessing, telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together, burned them in the sight of all. They were showing that this truth that they have learned is something they want to submit to. And they counted the value of it, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Do you know what that meant? That was over 100 years, 160 years wages for the average laborer in that day. A huge amount of money. At today's minimum wage rate, it would be $2.9 million for the average wage earner today. It would be over $7 million. Look what the Bible tells us. Here are millions of dollars worth of the most sinful book, kinds of books, burned up in fire. And you know what these people were showing? They were showing they believed in the word of the Lord that had been preached unto them. And the result down in verse 20, in this way the word of the God, word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Now, if we bring that into conclusion, here's what we see. The Bible tells us many of those who heard the word believed. The word of God spread. Those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. The word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God grew mightily and prevailed. What a driving force. Because the word of God was not changed. It was used. It was used by all in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, how do we build up the church as the church was built up in New Testament days? Number one, by attending. And when I talk about that, I realize in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that the Bible tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approach. And the early disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. Now that I'm getting older, I realize that people, yes, that are older too, sometimes they cannot come to services. I talked to one of our good sisters not long ago. She said, Brother Guy, I've missed more services. I don't want to be missed. I don't want to miss. I can't physically make it. I can understand that. There are some people that cannot, and there are others that have been sick that had to have you there. We're not talking about that. We're talking of people who deliberately choose to miss the services of the Lord. The first of the week is so important to all of us. The early disciples came together to break bread. We don't want to miss. Sometimes we have to. Ann's been sick. There are times when she couldn't be here. Sometimes I've had to be with her. Friends, what we're talking about is the fact that God wants to do the best that we can. And when we do, what will that do? Oh, it's a great thing to enjoy the company of God's people. Number two, let's teach the sound word of God. You know what built up the early church and all these people began to obey the gospel? The word of the Lord was preached. That same word as is preached today will bring forth the word of God. Yes, we'll build up the church by teaching God's wisdom. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. No wonder God tells us when in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, how that Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, and now I commend you to the word of God, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Yes, the word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know and I know, the better we teach people, the more they know. When they're honest and when they want to do God's will, what will they do? They will do what the Bible says. Speak where the Bible speaks. Remain silent where the Bible is silent. Certainly, Brethren will do better when they are taught better. Now, we have Sunday night services, and some of you can't be here. My sister's 93, and bless her heart, they have their service at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, on Sunday afternoon. And it's always a joy when I talk to her, and she says, God, guess what? I got to go this morning and also this afternoon. Got there before it got dark. Hard for her to see. Some of you can't see either to drive very well. And I understand that. Sunday night service is here for what? To strengthen us, to build us up. Wednesday night Bible classes. Oh, what a joy it is to come out on Wednesday night here at the building and see people who want to learn more of God's will that are able to do so, and they're here. Our gospel meeting that we've been talking about. Casey is a fantastic preacher, but you'll not benefit from the preaching if you're not here. But I know some of you won't be able to be here, but can you be here? The word of the Lord is not changed. The word of the Lord will be preached. Yes, we're to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then number three, building up the church of Jesus Christ. How can we build it up? Well, my friends, we can believe that it can grow. We can have faith in the word of the Lord. The gospel is full of power only to those who believe. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It'll do a bit of good to those who don't believe it. But to those who believe it, what are they going to do? They're going to be here. They're going to learn more, and they're going to try to build up each other. In Jude chapter verses 20 and 21, but beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Yes, the church at O'Neill, the church of Christ, we want to grow. We want to build up. How do we do it? Believe it can be done, and put that belief into action by doing everything that you can. Without strong faith, the members will neglect their duty, and you know that as well as I. Leave off praying for the work and be selfish, contentious, and also as a result, just simply not doing the will of God. But I'm here this morning to suggest to you that O'Neill Church of Christ is made up of people that love Christ, that want to do what Christ's will is. And I want us to sing that song. I love it. It's on page 156, For Christ and the Church. Buzz, would you lead us in that song, please? For Christ and the Church. Let's everybody sing about Christ and the Church of Christ. that God's people are to live, to show people what it's like to be on their way to heaven. All of us can now be elders and deacons and song leaders and preachers, but all of us can do one thing. We can live right. We can keep ourselves unspotted from the world. James 1, verse 25, 27. We can let our light shine and let the world see that there's Jesus Christ living in us. That'll build the church up, because others will want to be following the one that you're following, that they might have that wonderful hope. And that means, you know what we can do? We can live above the use of profanity. We don't have to curse. We won't. We can live above indulging in alcoholic beverages. We know what it will do to us. How many homes it's wrecked. How many children cry at night because the daddy comes home drunk. And sometimes even beats them and their mother. We keep ourselves from sexual immorality. Why? Because we can live right. We know we made a promise to God, promise to someone else. We're married, and we can keep that. We can stay away from gambling. One of the men that I baptized some years ago said two things that it's going to be hard for him. One of them, he loved to gamble. And the second was, he used profanity. He said, Brother Guy, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try. Stealing, quarreling, fighting, engage in worldliness. Those things, my friends, you and I, members of the church at O'Neill, the church that belongs to Christ, that we won't engage in. These things are not good for the soul, and they all tear down the church when it's up, and it keeps it from going up when it's down. God tells us in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, John, 1 John 2, 15 through 17, tells us how to live. And that's what we'll do. Why? Because we want the church of Christ at O'Neill to grow. We can see it in our daily lives, and others can. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we'll, number five, be willing to give. We won't be stingy. What did Jesus say about the treasures that you have? Remember in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust is corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where are your treasures? Friend, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's what Jesus says. We'll have everything we need, because when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Jesus said what? He said, God will give you what you need. Building up the church. Spreading the gospel. That money may be used for the primary purpose of extending the borders of the kingdom of God. Finally, number six. How can we build up the church that belongs to Christ in 2018? We can pray for it. The early disciples in Acts 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They prayed that the Lord would help us and strengthen us. And I hope that's what you're doing every day. That all of us ask God to bless our elders, to bless each one that preaches, each of the deacons, every individual that makes up the kingdom of God here. Because you're interested in us growing. Growing to bring honor and glory and bringing many souls unto Jesus Christ. All sincere persons work in the direction of their prayer. They're genuinely sincere. They're going to do everything they can to see those prayers be fulfilled. Never be ashamed of the name of Christ. Let it never be said that a member of the Lord's church at O'Neill decries using a sign out in the front, O'Neill, Church of Christ. It is either the Church of Christ or it is not. May we never be ashamed of the name that you can read about in the Bible, Romans 16, verse 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. It honors the one who died for it. Don't ever be ashamed of those who are members of it. Maybe they don't have as much as you. Maybe they don't have very much of this old world's goods. Well, John writes in 2 John verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father, rejoice that you have people that love the Lord, whether they be rich or whether they be poor, followers of Jesus Christ. Don't ever be ashamed of saying I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Don't be ashamed of His Word. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Don't ever be ashamed of what He tells the church to do, and the church does it. Don't ever be ashamed of the doctrine, the teaching. In 2 John verse 9, John writes, he said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, that man or that woman does not have God. It's clear. You either abide in it or you're out of it. May we never be ashamed of what we believe, of what the Word says. Because by abiding in the Word, we have both the Father and the Son. And in conclusion, don't ever, may God help us never to be ashamed of the destiny of the Church of Christ. When you read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, where the Apostle Paul is writing about when the end shall come, he says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. We're going to be delivered up to whom? Up to God. What's the destiny of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, that wears His name, that honors His doctrine? Heaven. Being delivered to God. Jesus said, I'm going to do that. And I pray to God that every member of the Lord's church at O'Neill will be there. And we'll all be delivered together. I'm saying to you this morning, God's word is not chained. There have been men, there have been women, there have been those who have been following the Lord who have suffered so much for the kingdom of God. But just like Paul said, you know what? I'm in prison. Yes, I'm chained. I'm bound. But he tells Timothy, but God's word is not chained. It's not bound. Let's believe His promises. You know, He made a promise in the Old Testament. I believe it today. It's applicable. Listen to it. Isaiah 55, the Bible says, my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It's always been true. It's true now. The power is in the Word of Almighty God. In preaching the gospel over the years, I went to a congregation to preach. One of the ladies, Sister Wheeler Mae Prince, I was talking to her after services, and you know what she said about the congregation where she was a member? She said, Brother Guy, it's dead. No activity. People are not awake for the Lord. She said, that's just, they're just dead, just waiting for somebody to come and to bury. Lame that, may that never be said of the church that belongs to Christ at O'Neill. Yes, how do we do it? With the help of God. Everybody working and serving the Lord, doing all they can. And that means number one question. Who do you know this morning that needs to be here right now, sitting in the pews? You know anybody? Why are they not here? Have you and I done something to get them back? What have you done to get them here? You pray for them? You let them know that you care for them? Does the saving or losing souls really matter to you and to me? Is that the most important thing to us in life? What does God want us to do? And what do you want to do about it? Wake up. Get up. Preach up. Stand up. March up. Pray up. Let's get going. Let's work together to build the kingdom of God that is called the Church of Christ. The church that Jesus died for. And the church someday he'll come back to save. You're in this assembly this morning. You've never been baptized. Won't you believe in Christ? Won't you repent of your sins? Won't you confess Jesus and today be buried with your Lord in baptism that you may be added to the kingdom of God by the Lord? Are you an erring child of God and you know that you haven't been living right? Do something about it. Let's work together as we seek to build up the kingdom of God, the church. The church that belongs to Jesus Christ. We have the power. The power is in the Word. We plan to preach it. We plan to live it. We plan to do everything we can to extend it to others. Join with us. Let's all work together in the service of our God. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Are you subject in any way to the invitation of Jesus Christ? He's here. He's waiting for you. He's inviting you. Won't you come? Well, together we stand and walk.